Hey, everybody. It's Monday, which means it's time for us to talk about a haunting. I feel like this camera moved. Either that or Spock moved. Maybe Spock moved.
Yeah, he fell over.
Oh, Pookie must have Pookie done that. Pookie likes to love on Spock's leg. Yeah. I thought it looked a little weird back there. She got a little overzealous, I guess, with her affection on Mirror Universe Spock's leg there. You humping Spock's leg, Pook?
I don't know what she's doing. I'm still trying to adapt to fucking drinking with a damn mustache.
I told you, you should get a bendy straw.
I got the whole mustache, the whole beard going on, but you can't really see it that much because it's still kind of gray. I got some of that Just for Men. I'm going to fucking dye that shit up.
Just for Men.
It's going to look like them. Looks like cross between Evil Spock and Anton LaVey.
Sure. Danny Rowling said Spock's boots were made for humping. Evidently.
Yeah.
Pookie has a shoe fetish. She really, really likes messing with people's shoes, particularly Tom's shoes. But she likes to fuck with my shoes, too, but that's why I keep them closed up in the closet.
She used to try to get inside my whole boot.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Beijing did that too.
Yeah, Beijing used to do it too.
We found Beijing like sitting inside like a big like god boot one time, and she's like, "What is
the most natural thing?" Inside the boot.
It's like super weird. These kitties.
Well, they're little female kitties, you know. They like the smell of leather and
they're
male
like
hormones.
Stinky feet.
Yeah, stinky dudes and horses. If anything that smelled like horses or leather, they liked that too.
Yeah, that's true. They're weird, those kitties.
Yeah.
They're weird. So Danny Rowling said, the best thing about this story, the Wheat Sheaf Horror that we're going to be talking about today, is that the father of the 6-year-old ghost girl killed her killer who raped and killed her. Yeah, I saw that. They didn't actually mention that on the show, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, I didn't remember that from the show.
It wasn't on the show. Yeah. I found that out in some supplemental materials, but I'm going to say, like, I didn't have a huge amount of time to do a lot of background. I did some background research about it. But I don't know what the original source of that is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's almost kind of like the show, like the psychic going in there and saying that stuff about like almost kind of like fed into like everybody just kind of like thinking that those people like really exist. So I don't really know if they really, maybe they do, but I don't know. I don't know where the actual source of it was. I was kind of excited because one of the first things that I thought of or when I was like looking into the thing, and there was another article that was fairly recent that had the last name supposedly of the little girl that was killed in there, and I was like, ooh, awesome. So I looked it up and I was excited because the first thing that came up was like that Find a Grave, you know, that Find a Grave site where it's like and I was like, oh my god, it's a real person. But then when I looked at it, it was just like somebody that had obviously seen the episode
and added it.
Added her to it and said, you know, oh, supposedly she's buried at the Wheat Sheaf Pub or whatever. So there's no like grave for her.
Yeah, same thing happens in religions. You start finding estuaries of people that probably never lived and stuff like that.
I'm not saying
it's
didn't. I'm just saying
it's called interpolation.
I'm just saying that. You know, that that I was excited because I thought I found like outside verification, like, oh my god, you know, they know who this little girl is. But then, because I even did like a newspaper search, like from, because she supposedly was murdered in 1908, they said, and I did like a newspaper search and I didn't see anything like around that. But like I said, it might just be because I didn't dig down deep enough.
Yeah, the psychic is a miniature little British Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, because I would, we were watching it. I said, oh my god, she looks like a lot like Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how super intense she was.
Mini Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, she's like a much
intense
small.
As fuck.
She really is very intense.
Yeah.
She's probably still around.
Yeah.
I think that when that show aired, or at least it was like an article that came out in 2004, which I guess was when the show aired, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because this was season 3. And they said at that point she was 32, which I thought she looked a little bit older than that. Like
she was just carrying herself. That I thought she's in her 40s.
I did too. Like, you know, I'm not trying to be an asshole or anything. I'm just saying that I thought that she looked older than that. But yeah, they said that she was 32. Like
just because she was intense.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
She was like super, super serious.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, you know, maybe this is like nothing to fuck with. I'm just saying. I know it's like me, my butthole ass.
Her delivery is good, man. She sets your ass straight.
She does.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
No, I mean, yeah, that shit for real like exists.
Yeah.
Danny Rowling said she looks like Mia Goth's mom. Yeah, she kind of looks like Mia Goth too. But Mia Goth also kind of looks like Sigourney Weaver a little bit, a little bit. So yeah, I didn't even think about that. Like, just I don't know because she in this one she had like hair that was kind of like Sigourney Weaver's hair in Ghostbusters. I feel like that kind of like big.
Yeah.
Permy. Like, not like that exactly, but it was kind of like...
She had a real real strong accent. She kind of sounds like she's streetwise. Something out of a movie.
Yeah.
Like back in the damn Oliver Twist days. She's going to tell you, give that boy some food, you know?
Yeah, I kind of got the vibe. Yeah. It's like, she maybe needs to, like, play... Yeah. If they do, like a stage production of, like, a Jack the Ripper thing, yeah. She could be, like, the wisecracking, like, prostitute. Like, you know what I mean?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Oscar says, Mia Goth looks nothing like Sigourney Weaver. Well, I mean, they don't look that much alike. I'm just saying that this woman kind of looked like Sigourney Weaver, but now that he said she kind of looks like Mia Goth, like an old Mia Goth, like I could see that too.
I don't know who Mia Goth is.
She was in X, and she's in the new Pearl movie.
Well, she was 30 when she made this.
32, yeah.
32, and that means she's about my age, because this is
I think this
old.
Was 2004.
Yeah.
So it's almost...
Almost 20 years. So
yeah. So
she's in her early 50s.
So yeah, she's about your age.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's still around. I'm assuming she still is. Mm. But, because I think the most recent article...
She'll probably be watching.
yeah. Well, there was an article that was originally written in 2004, and then it said it had been updated in 2020. So I don't know what the update was. But then there was a more recent article that was from 2019, like summer 2019, and that was when they said that there was another paranormal group that was going to go in there and like check it out.
Yeah.
But I looked on their website and I didn't see anything. They didn't have a search function for one thing, which I was just kind of like, okay, well that's a little inconvenient. But like when I looked at the testimonials and stuff like that, like I didn't see anything. So I don't know if anything ever came out of that or if they actually went or anything like that because I couldn't find anything. I did find that paranormal group. They're still around, but I don't know if they ever went there or not. But I thought, well, this being like a pub, that's like a public place, I kind of thought that there would be more about this, but this kind of, it keeps turning up on like lists of like most haunted pubs in the UK, but there's not a lot of history to it that's not already, that wasn't already delineated like on this episode. So I don't know if all of the haunting stuff came from this episode, from this story. And like, I don't know if it was considered haunted before this episode came out.
I think
it all
comes from her.
It might.
I'm pretty sure. Mm. This is her psychic revelation.
That's kind of what I'm feeling like, because I don't...
There was a possession involved in it, too.
Yeah.
And you know, stuff like that. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. But I think it's all from that.
Yeah.
They had the guy that got temporarily possessed by the ghost.
Although he said he didn't remember it.
He didn't remember.
Like, he had, like, a blackout, essentially, is what happened.
The dude that plays him in the episode's fucking awesome. He says some creepy shit.
That was the best part.
Yeah,
like
best
I
part.
Thought that was the best
yeah.
part. Like I that
the
was
voice
that was
out.
Scarier than the ghost. Yeah, we'll get into that, but I was like that was one of those moments where I was like, "Ooh, that was so great." Like that was so creepy like the way he said
it. Cuz it wasn't
that.
Overdone. It was just
See, that's like way scarier to me.
Yeah.
Remember when we were talking about we didn't do a full show on this episode, but we were talking about that episode The Possessed where I said that was that there was that great fucking moment where the woman was supposedly possessed and she was driving her kid in the car and like she
looking
just kept staring at him like over in the passenger seat like while she was driving. I'm like, ooh, that's so scary. I love that. It was a moment like that, you know what I mean, where it wasn't over the top, it wasn't anything. He just like said some creepy shit like and it wasn't overdone like
and
it
the
wasn't.
Actress that was playing that woman, she's in a lot of episodes. I just got a feeling that she's fucking wild. She's probably fun to hang out with because she definitely having a good time with this material.
Well, yeah.
When she was doing
like...
that driving episode, I was looking at that little boy like that. Fucking putting pedal to the metal going through the
going like,
going through
I was
busy
just like,
traffic
oh,
and just,
shit.
You know, just going random, looking at that
and
little
he's
kid.
He's like,
like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was awesome.
Cool.
But yeah, that was like a moment like in this one when the Martin guy gets possessed and just says
follow the green paint.
Yeah, I'll get into that.
Yeah, yeah,
but yeah,
yeah
that
yeah.
was like super cute. But that's why it was scary because it wasn't super over the top. They didn't have like a lot of reverb on the voice or anything like that. It was just like a regular voice but a little bit weird sounding, and that to me is like way scarier.
And that little British psychic chick jumping in telling you what that shit means with all her gravitas.
Right.
Yeah.
She is kind of great.
Yeah.
She's pretty great.
You're like something out of Oliver Twist.
It is, yeah. For 1 second, though, good Lord, can we please talk about the terrible British accents of the actors in this episode? Oh my God. It was making me cringe so hard. Well, that's the thing. The thing about it, like, I know A Haunting, they generally have, like, just, like, a stable of actors that they use over and over. I didn't really recognize any of them from this one, like, from other episodes. Not saying that they weren't in other episodes. I'm sure they were. But so they come in, and I'm like, oh, this one's set in the UK, so I'm sure we're going to hear some, like, really cringeworthy, like, Americans trying to do British accents. And indeed, there was, and I was just kind of like, the whole time, I'm like, oh my God, please stop talking. It was just, like, really, like, bothering me. So I said, I'm really curious to see if they got any British actors, actual British actors, or if they were Americans. So I went to the IMDb page, and I will say that most of the actors on here didn't, I mean, they had, like, links, but they didn't really have, like, say where they were from or anything. But for sure, the guy that played Tim, the bartender, one of the bartenders with the British accent, is from North Carolina. And the woman who, and she actually had a big part, the woman that played the bar manager in this, like, Camilla, I think her name was. That woman was from Queens, New York. So, actually, hers was not great, but it was the best one out of all of them. Like, the other ones were, like, really, really bad. Really bad. But, yeah, so I just thought that I would bring that up, because whenever they do one that's set in the UK, I'm always just kind of like, I really wish they'd get actual British actors or something instead of, like, Americans trying to do British actors.
They just
actors.
Throw that shit together in a couple of days, each one of those episodes.
That's what I'm saying, I guess. And, you know, it's not like they'd have the money to, like, hire a dialogue coach or anything like that.
No, they're just going
to
go with it.
But, yeah, we're just going to go with it. I was just kind of like...
shouldn't try any accents at all.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I would rather they just talk in their normal voices. Yeah. It's less distracting. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, they didn't, and that's just how it happened. But like I said, I just thought it was funny. I know that at least two of them were Americans, because I found them on their IMDb page. But so there's that. So you talk about something for a minute, because for some reason I really have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I'm sitting here
real
coughing.
Quick.
Sitting here coughing.
And then we'll get into talking about the episode.
Yeah. Okay. You going to use mine?
What are you talking
about? Anyway, yeah, been coughing. The fucking on that new shit makes you cough. Every time I ain't gonna talk about it. It don't matter. Let's see who else is in here. Looks like fucking Murder Hornet stepped out for a second too. Oscar says, Shudder's killing it. VHS 99 comes out later this month, and VHS 85 just got announced. I have no idea what that is. It must be the movie VHS, I think. I think it was a long time ago, wasn't it? Cough drop won't help. Sometimes you shoot that shit up, and it's kind of like you've just inhaled a whole bunch of black pepper. You just start fucking coughing. And it feels like somebody pour black pepper down your spinal column. Just electric fucking sparks and shit fucking flying out. Mrs. Evans says inhale. No, that doesn't work.
All right. That's better. Okay.
All right.
So what'd you guys talk about while it's gone?
Nothing.
Danny Rowling said another sick haunted UK pub would totally have to be the Ostrich Pub that inspired Sweeney Todd. The owner killed 60 people via a trapdoor in the room. We should probably do a show about that, actually. You know what I mean?
That's the one that inspired Sweeney Todd?
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be a good show to do. I should probably, like, I don't know what happened to my pen. I had a pen over here.
There's one right here.
Okay, that's probably the one that used to be over here. I'm going to write that down so I can put it in my list. Because I'm always trying to, like, find new stuff to talk about. I don't think they ever did a haunting show about that, though. You know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are you ready? You warmed
up?
Yeah,
we don't have a big crowd, man. We didn't really have a big crowd today. I guess everybody's doing something else.
Yeah, is it, maybe nobody likes this episode.
I don't know.
I've had,
so we
like...
We can put it on the member that suggested it.
No, I had more than one person, like, request this one. Mm-hmm. And actually, this was on my list of the ones that I wanted to do.
It's one of the major episodes.
It is, yeah. And like I said, it's one that I remembered, I guess because the name was specific.
Yeah, it's real memorable.
Because they didn't do, like, a lot of haunted pubs, but it's like, yeah, they did this one.
They did a couple, though.
Yeah, they did. And like Danny Rowling said, this one was kind of different because the shit was, like, super violent, apparently. But, all right, so yeah, we talked about, like, the terrible British accent, so, you know, no shame, like, I know the actors, like, didn't have a lot of time probably to prepare for this, and they're just like, can you do a British accent? Not really. Well, try it. All right, just keep on going. So I just kind of feel like that was what happened. All right, so this pub, I have the actual address at the end of my notes if you ever want to pop around and go there. I'm sure if you live in the area, you probably know where it is. So, this pub, the Wheat Sheaf, is in West Boldon, which is in northeast England in the Tyne River Valley. So, apparently, I don't know, they said it had been around for a couple hundred years, like most pubs have been. And I guess it had been closed for some time, like, because the guy that was in there that bought it in 2004, whose name, I think he said his name was David Guy. I'm not sure if that was his last name. I couldn't get the closed caption to come on. So I know his first name was David for sure, but I couldn't tell what his last name was, but it sounded like he was saying Guy. So he bought the pub in 2004, and he said that prior to that, it had been, not abandoned, but it had been closed for, I think he said 7 months or a year or
more than that.
Yeah. Or something like that. But he said it had been, like, boarded up. And he's like, it used to be, like, one of the best pubs in town, like, the best pub in town. But it closed, and then, like, nobody really wanted to, like, take it on. Maybe it was too much trouble or something.
Yeah, take it on, what he said.
Yeah.
I guess that means deal with it.
Yeah, he said deal with it. Nobody wanted to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, take on the responsibility. Right. That's what he meant.
Yeah.
So he bought it and hired a whole new staff. And they said that after their reopening, like, business was really good, but pretty much they said as soon as they opened, as soon as people started working there, the staff in particular, not so much the customers, I think there was kind of one customer that they kind of went into a little bit, but the staff pretty much immediately started reporting, like, paranormal phenomena, like, as soon as they started working there. So the one woman who's the bar manager, now, I think, like, Anthony Call, the narrator, he pronounced her name as Camilla. He said Camilla. Now, I looked it up, and her name is actually spelled Kamylah, which to me looks like Camilla. But I could totally be wrong about that, so I don't really know. I'm going to say Camilla because that's what it looks like to me. But he said Camilla, and I was like, that doesn't sound like how you pronounce that, but whatever. So she was the bar manager, and she said that even from the beginning, she said, we always felt like we were being watched, like, all the time we were in there. And she said, you know, I've worked other places. I've never felt scared before like that before I started working there. She said, because it's just a really creepy, like, feeling of being watched all the time. So the first kind of major thing that happened other than that was that she went into the kitchen. Now, it looked like, I don't know if this is what the real pub looks like, but it looked like on the show that the kitchen was, like, upstairs, and they said they generally kept it locked, like, when the pub wasn't open or, like, after hours or whatever. And she said that she went up there one night, and she said the fridge doors, they had a big industrial refrigerator, and she's like, the fridge doors were open, even though the kitchen had been locked and nobody had been in there. And she had made, like, a pan of, she says, me jelly. She said jelly, but it's Jell-O, if you're from the United States. It's a thing of Jell-O for, you know, Jell-O shots. She made, like, a big thing for Jell-O shots. And she pulls the pan out, and there was, like, a little kid's handprint, like, in the top of the Jell-O. And she's like, yeah, so nobody had been in the kitchen. It had been locked. And obviously there are no kids in the pub. So she's like, that was super, super weird. She said that pretty much every day there was something different going on. Like, you never knew it was going to happen. Just, like, there would always be something moved or, like, some other weird shit that was going on. She's like, the fridge doors would be open. It's like, or something like that. It was always something. She said just all the time there was something going on. That's what she said. Like, every day. So Tim, one of the bartenders, has also heard customers describing having paranormal experiences in the pub. So they then showed, and I don't know who this woman was. I'm just assuming that they're like using this as like an example of, hey, customers like saw weird shit too. So there's a woman in the bathroom, like fixing her lipstick or whatever. And she sees a little girl behind her, like, in the mirror, and she thinks it's a real kid, obviously. So she turns around, and she's like, hey, little girl, or whatever. But then when she turns around, like, the little girl isn't there. So she's like, huh, that's pretty weird. And, like, she looks around in the stalls and everything and doesn't see her. So then she goes out into the hall and sees the little girl again, but the girl looks kind of ghosty, you know what I mean? She's not, like, transparent or nothing, but she kind of looks like a little ghosty. But like I said, they didn't really have any of the customers other than Martin, but we'll talk about him later. But they didn't really have like this woman in particular, like the real one or anything, so I don't know. But it did seem like from what they said, I kind of feel like maybe some customers did say that they'd seen a little girl like in the bathroom. Like maybe more than one person said they saw that. I mean, that was the impression that I got. I'm not really sure. So David, the guy that owns the place, he's like, yeah, we heard weird shit all the time. Like, included, they said they would hear footsteps all the time, knocking or banging sounds coming from upstairs when obviously no one was up there, like, after closing and they'd already been up there, like, cleared it out. So just for shits and giggles, and because, I don't know, like, I guess this was kind of like, he seemed a little more earnest, like, the real guy. Like, the actor seemed a lot more like, hey, let's see what the ghost has to say, blah, blah, blah. I made this Ouija board. Like, he pulls up this the tablecloth, and it looks like he made, you know, he just, like, wrote letters on pieces of paper and then, like, put it under a piece of glass or something like that. And then they just, like, use the glass, like, to do the Ouija board with. So they're going to play it one night, and we're like, we're going to figure out, like, who this is that's walking around up there, because obviously it's a ghost, right? So they ask it, like, who is it that's, like, walking around up there? And the thing, whatever it is, like, apparently spells out, at first it says, get out, which, you know, rude. And then they kind of hear a bunch of creaking and shit, and they're just like, what the fuck, man? Like, what is that? And then, like, the message continues, get out or I'll kill you, which that's even ruder, you know? So then they all take their hands off the glass, like, what the fuck? Like, that's not right. And then the glass, like, starts moving by itself, and then it spells out, help me. Now, supposedly, then, or at least this is what they showed on the show.
We're having problems with YouTube, people.
Sorry about that. I have no idea what happened. We haven't had that happen in a long time.
No, yeah, it's not our internet connection. It was YouTube.
Yeah, it must be some kind of technical glitch or something.
Because there's
like
no
that.
Problem anywhere else. I can go to any other platform and it's fine. But YouTube itself is acting a fool.
Well, hopefully. Now I'm, like, paranoid that it's going to, like, show up again. And I don't have any idea, like, how long I was talking before.
Not long.
It turned off.
Not long. About a minute or so.
So I'm going to have to,
you're
going to
have to back up a little bit.
I mean, I'll just back up, like,
they're all
a paragraph.
Coming in. Okay. Everybody's all coming back in.
All right.
We got just three just jumped in.
Okay.
So just
maybe somebody can tell me where it cut off at.
Well, if you want, I can go back and replay the end of the last segment.
I mean,
but like I said, YouTube is acting very glitchy right now.
Danny Rowling said it was Joseph's evil ghost.
Yeah. All right, look.
Is like apparently spells out. At first it says get out, which, you know, rude. And then they kind of hear a bunch of creaking and shit, and they're just like, what the fuck, man? Like, what is that? And then, like, the message continues, get out or I'll kill you.
Which, that's about when we lost it.
Ruder, you know?
Okay.
So,
okay, that's about.
They take their hands off the glass, like, what the fuck? Like, that's.
Okay.
And then we lose it right around there.
Okay, so that's fine. So, actually, I wasn't. I lost about a paragraph.
Yeah.
Of notes.
Okay, half the audience is back.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, sorry about that. Like I said, I'm so used to that not happening anymore that I don't look at my little square
So I was just over here reading, and then I looked over, and the square was red. So I didn't know how long it had been like that.
Yeah, it wasn't our service. It was YouTube.
Yeah, well, like I said,
no other platform fucking fell, and I went and checked both routers. They were just running fine.
I think after we do the show, I think I need to update OBS as well. Okay. So that might have also been a problem. So maybe that's what it is. But yeah, so let's get back.
Okay, they're all back.
Into it. Okay. So as I mentioned at the end of the last thing, before we got cut off, yeah, ghost spells out, get out or I'll kill you, which, like I said, very rude. So the glass then moves by itself, and after that, the glass spells out, help me or please help me. So after that, they supposedly hear, and this was just on the show. Now, the real woman, the real Camila, she said that she confirmed that it spelled out help me or whatever, like, on the Ouija board. But I don't know if they really, like, heard, like, a little girl or whatever. But supposedly, on the show, they hear this little girl, like, sighing or something. So Camila said she immediately, not sure how she knew this, but she said she immediately knows this has to be the same girl that the customer had seen in the bathroom upstairs, and also the girl who left the handprint in the Jell-O. And she said that out loud, and then the glass slid over to yes as they're replying, yeah, that's who I am. So there's that whole thing. Okay. Yeah, you were talking about the message, get out or I kill you. Yeah, that's what I figured. So I didn't lose that much. I only lose like a fucking... Yeah, Rebecca said, YouTube has been difficult for months. When y'all upload a show, I can't view it until 24 hours after the upload.
That's ridiculous.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Like, because like I said, I explained sometimes, and I don't know if this affects it or not, but like sometimes I'll go in the next morning and like cut off the 5 minutes of, you know, coming soon at the beginning, and then it'll process, but I don't know if you can still watch it like while it's processing.
I wouldn't worry about it. Nobody else does that. They just fast forward it. The other shows that I watch, they leave that there. Because you just fast forward it. You just press with your finger on your little tablet to the places where the show starts. That's all you got
to
do.
I know, but it just seems like,
well, if you have
5 minutes of bullshit.
But if it delays, but if it delays the show 24 hours, it isn't worth it.
But see, I don't know if it does. I think
she
what
just
it's,
said it did.
I think, but I don't know if that's what it is what I'm saying. I'm saying that what YouTube says is that if you go in there and like trim some off the beginning, like it will process, but while it's processing, in theory, it's supposed to be showing the old version of the video until the processing is done. So you should still be able to watch it, but it still has the stuff that you trimmed off.
According to other creators that are much bigger than us, YouTube's fucking up. They've really kind of broken YouTube because they put so many AI algorithms in it to serve as fucking censorship that nothing really works very reliably anymore. And it's evidently YouTube is kind of going the way of Facebook. It's supposed to be, it's a big platform because smart TVs come with it. All right. But it's a platform that won't be around 5 years from now. So we'll be on another platform by then. Other platforms are doing real well, and there's no hassles and no worries about censorship, and they still have payment processors. There's a lot of them coming up now. So there's programs where you can stream on six of them fucking simultaneously, and that's casting an awful wide net. There's just, you can just get super chats off six damn platforms simultaneously. So eventually we're gonna have to upgrade to that kind of stuff. We'll be on YouTube, but that'll just be one of them. We need to be on other ones too, but you know, Jenny doesn't really want to deal with it yet.
Well, you know, it's a lot of work, and I haven't, and I'll have to like spend ages like
figuring out how to do it
because, yeah. And that's just like, I don't have
time
to do it.
They got programs for it, I'm sure.
I know, but yeah. I just don't have time to like learn to do something else again top of it.
Yeah, we just have to plan for the future.
Well, I know that. Yeah. I know. I'm just saying I don't have time to deal with it right now.
Some of the shows are making a shit ton of money off of things like off of the, one of them that's doing real well is Rumble. Rumble's making a lot of money, and it's because they have live chats and they have payment processors on it, so they can send you super chats and everything, and just, and the algorithms are a lot easier to get noticed because they're not doing suppression and they're not favoring corporate channels, so the competition's easier. You're not being held back artificially.
Danny Rowling said, the girl ghost in this episode looks a lot older than six, just saying. Yeah, I mean, they just got the actress that they get. And honestly, the only reason that we know, supposedly, that the girl is 6 years old is because that's what the psychic said. So I don't know if the girl was actually six or not. You know what I'm saying? So a few days later, this is kind of where the big ghost story shit like starts. So a few days later, David, the owner, he's hosting a fundraiser at the pub. And some of the people said, oh, you should have in like some psychics to do psychic readings, and like you can raise money that way. It's like £5 to get your fortune read or whatever. And like you can raise money for kids' cancer or whatever the hell the charity was. So they have a bunch of psychics in there. So at this point they talk to pub regular Martin Brown, who will become significant later on. And he's just kind of like, I couldn't believe how stupid this whole shit was. Like, I was there that night, but you know, we were talking about, oh my God, the, psychic thing. It's like, I can't believe people are so stupid that they believe in that kind of stuff and blah, blah, blah. So two of the psychics that show up are a woman named Suzanne Hadwin, who, you know, she's kind of all over this shit. And there's another one, I'm not sure what her name is. It sounded like Lana, and I have no idea like what her last name was, like Gravinsmus or something like that. I couldn't tell what he was saying. So Suzanne comes in and she says she immediately felt some super, super negative energy like inside this place. She said it's anger like I've never felt before in my life. That's what she said. So she gives readings to people like she's supposed to be doing, but she said she kept feeling this like negative vibe in the back of her mind the whole time, and she was kind of having a hard time concentrating and yada yada. And she's like, there was really like no reason that that I should have been feeling like that. Danny Rowling said that guy Martin looked like he had a second row of teeth in his mouth. He did kind of. Yeah. Now that you mention it, there was something like kind of weird looking about him, but I couldn't put my finger on it. But that's kind of like
I don't remember that guy.
Yeah, that's kind of like he was. Yeah. They didn't show him much. It was the real guy of the guy that got possessed.
Okay, all
you know
right,
what
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, that guy. All right.
He did kind of look.
I didn't
like,
notice anything about his teeth.
Yeah, well, I didn't know it was his teeth. I just thought there was something like a little. He wasn't like funny looking or anything. There was just something a little bit weird about his face, I guess. And it's just kind of like, and I was like, oh yeah, it did kind of look like he had two sets of teeth. I got you. That's funny. That's pretty funny. All right. So, at one point, a few hours later, she's kind of like doing a reading and she's like, I couldn't really, you know, get it out of my head, this whole like negative thing. And I wanted to like check it out. So she goes upstairs, like to kind of sort out like why she feels the way she feels. Now, supposedly while she's up there, she sees the ghost of a little girl. And she said, and I quote, you could see right through her. Now, allegedly, nobody had told her prior to this that the staff of the pub had seen a little girl, or that customers had seen a little girl. You know, I'm just saying, I don't know if I believe that or not, but I'm just saying, like, she allegedly didn't know anything about that, like, before she came in. But so she's like, she goes upstairs and she sees the ghost of a little girl. And on the show, they show the little girl saying, like, freaking out and, like, being scared and everything and saying, please, he's coming, or something like that. And Suzanne said, yeah, you could see her face and she looked really scared and shit. So the little girl, like, kind of runs off and, like, fades in the direction of the bathroom or whatever. So Suzanne goes into the bathroom. She doesn't see the little girl, but then when she looks in the mirror, she said, she had this vision of presumably the way the room used to look, like back in the day. She said it used to be a bedroom, and that the bedroom presumably belonged to this little girl. Now, on the show, they said it looked about a century old, so around the turn of the century, because the show, like I said, came out in 2004. And I think, like, later on, they tried to say that the little girl had been murdered in 1908, so it was, like, right around that time period. So she said at this point, she sees the little girl in, like, sitting on the floor of the bedroom, and said her face looked all beat up, and the ghost, like, asked her for help. And then there's, like, another noise, like, somebody coming. And then the ghost looks, like, really scared and disappears. So then, like, the vision that Suzanne's presumably been seeing in the mirror, like, disappears. And Suzanne is, like, back in the normal bathroom again. So later that night, like, after the pub closes, Suzanne tells the staff about this girl that she saw and the fact that the bathroom used to be a bedroom. Now, David said he was really impressed because, like, pretty sure none of the staff told this psychic woman that other people had seen a little girl. So Suzanne is like, do you mind if I have a look around now that, like, nobody's in here? And he's like, yeah, sure, fine. And even gives her, like, the keys to the kitchen and blah, 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 because it had already been locked up. So she goes into the locked kitchen and kind of hears some weird noises. And then there's, like, a ghost of a man, which is Joseph, appears behind her. Now, she didn't say she saw that, although she did say, I knew him. So I don't know if that means she sensed him and she, like, knew who he was that way. Like, she knew. Because she's, like, she said she instinctively knew that his name was Joseph. So I don't know if she actually, like, saw him with her eyeballs or not. I don't know. Because at this point, like, the narrator says that she was bombarded with images from another time. So I'm guessing this was all, like, a vision that she had. Not necessarily something that she saw, like I said, with her eyes. But something she saw, like, in her mind or whatever. So the vision that she sees is she sees Joseph and this other dude carrying the screaming girl down into the cellar, like, all wrapped in, like, a big piece of material or something like that. So at this point, like, the staff tell her, oh, yeah, like, we talked to this little girl through the Ouija board, and Suzanne, like most psychics worth their salt will do, what the fuck were you doing playing with a Ouija board? Don't you know that those things are, like, super dangerous? Don't mess around with those. It opens a portal, and then all kind of evil is going to... You're letting evil into the world, she tells them.
That's, like, the stock response.
What, it is,
every
yeah.
one of these, in every one of these shows, when the psychic shows up and they found out you did that Ouija board, well, there it is. The Ouija board.
What were you
Motherfucker.
Thinking? Motherfucker. What were you thinking?
Parker Brothers, goddammit.
Right. This one wasn't even Parker Brothers. It was just like a...
Yeah,
like,
a homemade one.
It was just a homemade one.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't really see how... I don't know, man.
Any kind of spiritual activity by you novices, you know, if you want to do spiritual activity, you better hire me. I'll come down here and do it. That's what they're... That's what they're trying to say. But, you know, that's what they believe, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. I don't think they're making it up, that response, but they believe that. I don't think that Ouija board makes any difference.
No, I don't think so either.
No, I've seen paranormal shit and it had nothing to do with Ouija boards. Could a Ouija board evoke some paranormal stuff? It would take the right kind of people. It would take the kind of people... It would take, like, a poltergeist focus, somebody who could do it even without the damn Ouija board. The Ouija board would just be a crutch. So... I don't know.
Murder Hornet said Fisher Price.
Yeah,
Fisher Price Ouija board. My first Ouija board.
I don't really.
It's made of plastic and it squeaks like for babies.
Yeah.
So you can contact spirits. You're a toddler. That'd be kind of cool.
I understand what they're thinking, though. They're thinking that if you're messing around with paranormal forces, you can just unlock something you're not ready to deal with. So maybe it's good advice.
I mean, even in The Exorcist, she was playing with a Ouija board.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes from The Exorcist.
I think it does, too. That's the thing. I kind of feel like people forget how much stuff that is sort of taken for granted in the paranormal world, like, came from a movie originally.
Yeah. Now, sometimes, or probably a lot of times, when they're writing the scripts to those movies... They usually, like, went to some parapsychology department for ideas. So it could be that whoever wrote the script to The Exorcist actually did... That wasn't their idea for the Ouija board. It might have been a parapsychologist that fucking said, oh, yeah, if you mess around with that Ouija board, you're unlocking psychic abilities that you can't control, you know. And ghosts and demons might... And outside forces might come through.
So but I'm going to tell you...
That they didn't make that up.
You can't
you
see
just
it.
Heard that.
But my mouse pad that's right here is a Ouija board.
Yeah.
So you'd think if any place was, like, be infested with demons, it would be this office because I use that all the time. It's like it's on the side because it's like it doesn't fit. But yeah, I have a Ouija board.
I don't think it's these little trinkets that are the problem. No. The problem is always faith, your belief. Faith is the most powerful one, especially if you have what Stephen King called the shine to you. And most people do shine, at least a little. Yeah, so, matter of fact, living creatures tend to shine. Yeah, even cats and shit. Just not in the same way that human does.
Pookie does, for real.
It's life force.
I know you guys will think I'm crazy, but I'm pretty sure Pookie can read my mind.
Yeah.
Can read my thoughts. Because sometimes I can call her with my mind. Like, I'm laying in bed, it's the middle of the night, and I just go, and I think about Pookie, and she'll come in and be like, what? Why are you calling me? Danny Rowling said, I'm surprised the dead prostitutes that Joseph killed didn't haunt the place as well. Well, see, now that's something I want to get into, because they implied on the show, they did actually kind of imply this, where they were, I think there was one point where the psychic said, oh, you know, we need to get rid of Joseph and then we can deal with all the other spirits. And then somebody said, well, how many more are they? And she said, I don't know. But in some of the articles about this that I read, apparently she did know, because she said that there were 37 of them. She said there were 37 spirits in there. Several of which were murder victims. And actually, I think she said 8 of them were murdered children. I don't know, but, you know, and one of them was Joseph, obviously, but I'm assuming, like, the other ones were maybe other murder victims as well. Rebecca says, only need to be 8 years old to be able to use a Ouija board, but 21 to drink alcohol in the U.S. Right? Man, they'll let anybody use that Ouija board. Summoning demons and whatnot. That's, like, fucking hilarious. That's hilarious. Yeah, okay. Danny Rowling said, but even when the Ouija board first came out, there was still eerie shit that went on with it, and the user supposedly, like you said in the Ouija board show you did. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really believe in it, but, you know, that's what are you going to do? Rebecca said, I was going to start making designer Ouija blood boards, but holy shit, at the church folk up in my face telling me I'm being lured by demons. Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, I would have thought that after the whole satanic panic thing had gone away, like, that people... But honestly, like, even nowadays in 2022, I heard some people were freaking out about Hocus Pocus 2. Like, that was gonna, like, lure children into demonology and stuff like that. And I'm like, seriously? Have we
learned? I remember when they said the have Dungeons we learned, and Dragons.
That's what I mean. I was like, have we learned nothing? No.
Dungeons and Dragons make you a damn wizard.
People are just as stupid as they were back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People aren't getting any smarter. It's really disappointing. But yeah, Rebecca said, no brains, no headache. Sure. I mean, you know. So, you're not allowed to play with a Ouija board. She's like, what the fuck are you even doing? You're letting evil into the world, she tells him. So, as I said, she tells him, we have to get rid of Joseph before you can help the little girl, because they all want to help this little girl, like, get free or whatever, and deal with the other spirits that are there. Like I said, that's all she said in this episode, but in the in an article that I read about this, she said that she specified that there were 37, which, that sounds like some Warren's shit right there, where they walk in and it's like, oh man, you got, like, dozens of demons in here. Like, we're gonna have to be here for a really long time. But yeah. So a few nights later, after closing, they do this sort of, like, ritual, I guess. They're trying to, like, rescue the little kid's soul or whatever. So they do a cleansing first to protect everybody. So Suzanne apparently believes that Joseph's spirit is concentrated in the basement. Concentrated ghost. So she sends the... I don't know why this made me laugh so hard. But she sends the staff down there and makes them stand... Like, she makes a salt circle, and she makes them all stand in it. And she's basically like, well, I'm going to go upstairs and see if I can, like, help this little girl. You guys stay down here, and hoping that they can detain Joseph in the basement, like, in the salt circle, or I'm not really sure. It wasn't clear. So she's going to make them stay down there in the salt circle, like, praying and stuff like that to keep Joseph down there so she can, like, deal with the little girl upstairs. So Suzanne goes into the bathroom first and then turns on. She has, like, a little tape recorder, like, for EVPs or whatever. And then they go into this, it looked like a storage room, I'm assuming that's what it was. And Suzanne, like, I guess she sensed that the kid was in there, so they do another salt circle. It was actually more of, like, a salt oval, really. Not really all that circular. What are you doing?
Damn, Pookie.
She's like, no, it's nothing. I do what I want. She's, like, tearing him the couch up. Yeah. So she does another salt circle and then puts a little doll in the middle of it, as though it's bait, like ghost bait, which was, again, I thought was very funny. So Lana, the other psychic, she is what they call a psychic artist, which basically means she just, like, senses spirits and she, like, draws what they look like. You know what I mean? So there's that. So Suzanne somehow gets the name Jessica, and she assumes that that's what the little girl's name is. So she asks Jessica what she's afraid of, and then they hear, like, something creaking around, like, out in the hall. The real Suzanne then says, you know, you didn't have to ask if Joseph was around. You just knew because you could feel it. Like, apparently it was, like, this really, really bad, like, negative energy.
So then she says that she had a vision of Joseph and the other guy, like, throwing the kid on the floor, and it looked like beating her to death. Now, in the article that I read, she actually said that the vision that she had was that the guy and the other guy, like Joseph and the other guy, had actually raped the little girl and then cut her up and then, like, put her in a bag or something like that and put her on the floor. So they didn't show that on the show. They basically just showed him, like, beating her to death with, like, an axe handle, which is bad enough, for Christ's sake. But, yeah, it was a lot worse, like, in what she said in the article. So she asks Jessica where her body is, and apparently the ghost says, "I'm still here," and then appears, like, with her hand, like, on the wall, like, in the storage room. So Suzanne is like, she's in the wall. Like, they must have walled her up behind there, so we need to get her out. So meanwhile, downstairs, Camila accidentally steps out of the salt circle and has some kind of, like, episode. She said she basically, like, falls to the ground and starts, like, wigging out or whatever. And see, she said that she couldn't control her legs and she had, like, this really horrible pain in her head. She said when she stepped out of the circle, like, something touched her face, like, something that felt evil, and it was, like, suffocating her, like, she couldn't breathe. So that she had, like, a really bad episode. She recovered. It was okay, though. So then the psychics come back down and they listen to the audio recorder that they had going in the bathroom while all of these shenanigans were going on. Now, on this EVP, there's a man's voice on there basically telling Suzanne that he's going to kill her. So this is essentially, that means the ghost is, like, operating in real time. This isn't one of those kind of, like, reliving the past or anything like that, because he's talking to Suzanne, who's there right now. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to kill you." So Suzanne is like, well, that's a little alarming. But they all decide that they're just going to go ahead and help Jessica because they want her to go to heaven or whatever. So that night, because the psychic is so convinced that Jessica's body is behind this wall, David, the guy that owns places, is like, okay, fine. You can kind of tear the wall down and see if you find anything. Don't make too much of a mess, he says. And then he goes home, presumably, to sleep for a couple of hours. So they kind of tear out. It looks like there was, like, drywall, like, put over it. I don't know what it was like in real life. So they tear, like, all of that off, and they find, like, this brick fireplace behind the wall. Now, apparently, all they said on the show was that they found, like, a bit of concrete that had some hair on it, like, that looked like, I don't know, it just looked like human hair, and a small piece of what may or may not have been bone, although I don't know if it was human bone. I mean, what they showed on the show was, like, a little bitty piece. Now, in the articles that I read, they said they found a lock of hair, rags that looked like from a girl's dress, and, like, the heel of a child's shoe. They didn't say anything about bones, okay? So I'm just saying. But so they showed on the show a little bitty piece of bone or whatever. But the way that the real Suzanne talked about it, she was saying, like, I was holding the girl's remains in my hand. So maybe a little bit of exaggeration, not entirely.
Misleading.
Sure. It's a little misleading, yeah. And the thing is, it's like, even if you found, like, a little piece of bone in there, that could be, I mean, it could be lots of things. It could be an animal, you know?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't necessarily even be human.
It just, it would have to be verified.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You'd have to find, like, a skull or some
shit. And it may be from a case that's totally unrelated to the story that you're
seeing. That too. That too. Charlie Huck says, hi from Argentina. Love you guys. We love you too.
Yep. Argentina. Went there a long time ago.
Yeah, that's right.
Just for a couple days, yeah.
Yeah, so it's funny because they pull all the drywall out. Like, it's just in one room. And like I said, it looked like a storage room or whatever. Like I said, I don't know what it was in my life. But David comes back a few hours later and was like, what the fuck? I thought I told you not to make a mess. Because they did kind of make a mess of the place, like tearing out this big thing. So after that, like, they all apparently hear a girl's voice saying, help me. It's, like, coming from downstairs. So they all run down there, but there's nobody there. And at that point, like, Camila said she saw, like, a weird shadow that wasn't quite a shadow, like, almost like a shadow, like, going up the stairs or whatever, like, Nosferatu or whatever. But it's, like, what?
Seeing what she was doing.
Oh. Usually you said something.
No, she was pulling on. You didn't see what she was doing?
No, I didn't see it.
She grabbed the corner of that damn little ottoman and was trying to pull on it. It was like she was hung up. I think she got
her claws get stuck.
Yeah.
Because then she's just like,
yeah, she couldn't detach.
Willow says, hello, Jenny, Tom, Pookie. Yeah. I think Pookie just walked out. But yeah.
So then Suzanne apparently starts having a vision of Joseph sitting at a table, like, in the corner of the pub, and she starts, like, talking to him. Obviously nobody else could see him, but she's, like, over there, like, talking to him. So she's able to determine from this vision that Joseph was running a brothel and that he really, really hated women. Now, she keeps asking him, like, why he killed Jessica, and finally he says, at least on the show, he says, she got in my way, and if you get in my way, you'll die too. That's what he says. So Suzanne says, well, I couldn't, like, I was scared, but I couldn't, like, back down from him because, you know, he'd be able to, like, get in or whatever. So she tells the staff, well, he's getting stronger. We don't have much time. We need to get rid of this motherfucker. So they go to the library, and Suzanne, and I think it was Tim, like one of the bartenders, they go and they do some research. Now, apparently, I don't know if this is true or not again, they find a picture in a book. They find a book, like, that's the history of the town or whatever. And they find a picture in there that shows a man that apparently looks like the man she saw in her vision sitting at a corner table at the Wheat Sheaf. And she said, oh, that's him. That's Joseph. She also finds a picture of, like, a Sunday school class that has a little girl in it that she thinks looks like Jessica, the little girl that she saw in the pub. I don't know if this has been verified or not. So nothing happens at the pub for several days, they said. Martin, who's the guy that comes there all the time, he's like the pub regular, he claimed that prior to all of this stuff happening, that he had never heard anything about the pub being haunted, even though he was there a lot. But he's about to find out some shit, as we'll get into. Now, there's also a little incident, too, where Camila is, like, really, really nervous because she said the shit was getting worse. And she drops a tray with a bunch of glasses on it. And then, like, she looks up at the bar and there's, like, a little... It's like a little cement, like, it's kind of like a wall sconce or, like, something that you'd mount on the wall, like, to put a candle or some shit on. And it looked like it was made of cement or whatever. And she looked at it and she said it was, like, wiggling, like on the wall. And she's like, hey, look, that's moving. And then, like, it flew off and she ducked real quick. They said if she hadn't ducked, at least that's what they said, that it probably would have, like, smashed her skull because it was, like, super heavy. But yeah, but she got out of the way, like, quick enough, but it missed her head. So she said at that point she knew, because it was getting, like, super violent, that there was going to be some kind of, like, big showdown. So a few hours after that, it's like the middle of the night now, Lana, the other psychic, the one that draws shit, she apparently gets a premonition that David, the owner, was going to be pushed down the stairs, not at the pub, at his house, by Joseph. Like, Joseph's gonna come down to your... I don't know how close his house was to the pub. But he's gonna come down the street to your house and push you down the stairs. So he's like, I thought it was funny. Like, the actor is like, isn't it a little late at night for premonitions? Why are you calling me in the middle of the night? She's like, well, excuse me. I thought you were gonna fall down the stairs and die because, like, a ghost was gonna push you. So she does, like, actually warn him. Now, apparently, they didn't really say this outright, but I got the implication because he seemed kind of impressed that... she knew some shit. So I'm assuming that maybe she knew, like, the layout of his house, even though she'd never been there or something like that, because he seemed to, like, take it pretty seriously. So he's like, okay, I'll be careful. And he turned out okay. Like, nothing bad happened, but they just, like, added that little thing in there. So, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Charlie Huck from Argentina. That's a trip that we got people all the way in Argentina listening to. How the hell did you find this show? That's fucking funny.
It's just as easy to find it anywhere in the world.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I didn't go to Argentina. I went to Montevideo. I think that might have been Uruguay.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Or Paraguay. I'm not sure I went to Argentina. I went to the place of three frontiers. I don't think fucking Punto de Tres Fronteras, but I don't think Argentina's there. It's a place where Brazil and fucking a couple other damn countries meet. I don't think I went there. But I had, when I lived in Brazil, I had friends from Argentina. Went to school with them. It's funny how similar our cultures are, as far away as that is. Argentina's just fucking far from the rest of the world. If you look at the globe upside down, it's Argentina by itself and fucking Antarctica. That's what the world looks like from their point of view.
I guess from a technical standpoint, the globe can't really even be upside down because...
No, but if you looked at it upside down...
Well, yeah, I know.
You know, from their hemisphere.
I'm being a well, actually, motherfucker.
Yeah, you're being a well, actually.
Yeah. I was like, technically...
Yeah.
Technically, the globe
yeah,
can't be
upside down. Yeah, she's saying you're at the bottom of the globe. Yeah. No, it's not at the bottom.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's no such thing as, like, a top or bottom. Like, we're just used to seeing it that way because that's how we see the globe.
Yeah, well, if you turn it upside down and look at Argentina, it's by itself. It's just there with Antarctica.
They're so lonely.
Yeah. Where's that?
Lonely.
Out in the middle of fucking nowhere. And then Australia on the other side of it.
That's pretty weird. That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
All right, so Lana, at this point, she says, yeah, she felt like, because she'd got this premonition about Joseph, like, expanding his reach, apparently, and, like, pushing people down the stairs, like, a few buildings over, she's like, okay, well, the energies are building up, shit's getting worse, so we really have to, like, you know, bring this all to a close. So one night, so the staff are up kind of sorting through the bricks where the body supposedly was. I guess they were looking for more clues or bones or something like that. So Martin, the guy, this was the best part, I thought. He wanders upstairs and he comes into the room where they're working and he sees them and he starts kind of like poking around in the bricks and they're like, Martin, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you even up here? Because he doesn't work there. And he apparently gets possessed, and he's sort of acting, like, really, really weird. So he's, like, he picks up one of the bricks that has, like, green on it. And he looks at them, like, really creepily, and he says creepily, he's like, if you want to find her, look for the green paint. Like, the way he says it is, like, so, so creepy. And I was, like, as we were watching it last night, I was, like, ooh, that was so good. I love the way he said that. That was, like, awesome. So props to that actor, because he did a good job. So they're like, well, wait a minute. How do you know that, like, if you find her, like, we didn't tell you that we were looking for a little girl's body up here. So how do you know that? You know, and he says, the little girl's buried. He says, she's buried behind the green bricks. And then they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he says, oh, she's here. And so is he. That's what he said. It's like, he was just so good at this part. It was so good. So, so creepy. And then he just, like, gets up and, like, walks out the room and, like, drops the brick. But then he turns around and he, like, yells at them and he says, the girl is mine, he says. So he's, he's possessed. So they start chasing after him because the psychic is like, we can't let him leave the pub with the ghost, I guess. You know what I mean? You can't let him, like, his possessed ass, like, running around in the fucking streets or whatever.
Willow Lee from Korea. Ms. Lee's in there saying, don't play with the Ouija board. She used to do it in high school with her friends. It was creepy.
Yeah.
I've done it a few times, but I don't remember anything all that exciting happening.
I don't even remember messing with anything like that.
Yeah, we played with it a few times, but I don't remember anything. Like I said, I don't remember anything all that.
Mostly a feature at girls' slumber parties back in the 70s, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I had one, and I did me and my brother and my sister maybe did it a couple times, but it's like nothing ever exciting happened, you know?
Yeah, that was like some shit my babysitter Kimmy would bust out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see why it'd be kind of fun and everything.
Yeah. Not a little kid. Her and all her little fucking hippies.
I was like, shit, man, that's what we should... Maybe we should do that on the Halloween show.
No.
Because I have a Ouija board right here.
Yeah, no.
I know, it'd be super boring.
It'd be boring.
I'd have to start pushing it around to, like, make it entertaining, to, like, say some fucked up shit. Oh, my God, I'm not pushing it, you guys. That's what I would do. But, I can't do it now because I just said it out loud. But So they chase after Martin because they don't want him to leave the pub. So this is great. I'm not really sure, like, how they got him to do this. But the next scene, they make Martin, like, sit in a chair. And he's apparently, like, still Martin some of the time. He's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? He's like, can you just, like, sit in this chair, like, for a second? And then, like, they make, like, a salt ring around him. And he's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And he's like, just trust us. It's fine. And then they start, like, addressing him as Joseph. And he's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Like, what is going on? So, but then, like, Suzanne said that she started talking to Martin and calling him Joseph, and then Martin started looking, like, super, super evil, and then he starts, like, talking in, like, a different voice, and he's like, you guys, rituals or whatever, like, are really pathetic, you'll live to regret this, yada, yada. So they start, like, praying over him and, like, telling Joseph to leave. And at this point, Suzanne said she had another vision, this time of Joseph murdering another woman, and Jessica, the little girl, seeing it. And that, hence why, Joseph ended up killing her, because she apparently, like, saw something she wasn't supposed to see. So Suzanne apparently draws Joseph out of Martin's body and into a pendulum dowser thingy. She's got, like, that, you know, the pendulum thing. And she's kind of, like, doing this. She's, like, drawing the spirit into the thing, like, using her spirit guides
to draw the evil spirit into the little pendulum, and he's like, no, I won't go, no, and he's like freaking out, he won't go, but he does in the end, because, you know, because the power of the spirit guides and Jesus and all that. So the pendulum, they said, was like going all crazy. Spirit gets sucked into the crystal thingy. So then Martin wakes up, and the real Martin said, I didn't remember anything that happened. He's like, last thing I remember, I was walking upstairs. Like, before he even went to the room and said the creepy shit about the green paint and all that kind of stuff. He says that he doesn't remember any of that happening. So he said, one minute I was walking up the stairs, and then next minute I was, like, waking up in a chair, like, and everybody was like, did it work? Like, and he's just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, he didn't really know. But the weird thing, though, he said was that even though he didn't really remember what had happened, he actually somehow knew that, It's like the ghost that had been in there had, like, left residue. That's gross. Had left, like, spiritual residue.
Like burnt toast.
Yeah, right. Had left some burnt toast in there. Had left some shit, like, lying around, like, inside his psyche or whatever. So he just knew that, oh, the guy's name was Joseph. He was a barman. He ran the brothel in here, and he was, like, a real asshole, you know, exploiting young girls, killed a bunch of people, blah, blah, blah. And apparently they hadn't told him any of this ahead of time, so they were, like, weirded out that he knew this. So at this point, like, Suzanne believes that now Joseph is fucked off. I was kind of like, they kind of left me hanging, because she supposedly draws, I think about this kind of stuff, the practical concerns. She supposedly draws Joseph, an evil spirit, a powerful evil spirit, into a crystal on the end of a pendulum. It's like, what does she do with it now? Does she still have it someplace? Is he still in there? Did she smush it? Did she flush it down the toilet? Like, what do you do with it now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it like the ghost containment thing, like in Ghostbusters, you have to put it, like, you have to transfer it to, like, a facility that kind of is protected against that kind of stuff, or what? I'm curious. They never follow up on it.
Make sure you guys like, friend, and subscribe and share the channel for us. And Jenny and I have Instagrams. We've got 13 o'clock podcast Instagrams. We have our own private Instagrams. Got Jenny Ashford Instagram.
No, I just transferred mine to 13 o'clock podcast.
Okay, I got Thomas.
I do have a Scare Salon one, though, too.
I got Thomas Ross Instagram. I got Thomas Ross Facebook. Jenny's got Facebook. You can friend us there if you're on the show.
I got 40 million Facebook things.
Make sure to friend, and we'll have fun.
Rebecca said, put it in the house like the Warrens. That's what I'm thinking. It's like, does she have, like, a bunch of different... Because, you know, you can't put, like, more than one spirit in one crystal, or can you?
Mm-hmm.
Can you just, like, stuff a whole bunch of them in there? Do you have to write on there, like, which ones are in there so you don't forget?
You're
like,
asking what, a person that doesn't
what
have
if they
any,
escape?
Well, you're asking a person that doesn't have any creativity
well,
about
I'm,
that.
I'm not asking you,
know.
Necessarily. I'm just, like, it's rhetorical questions.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if anybody knows, please tell me. Because they never tell me.
Where you capture a spirit and what happens to it?
Yeah.
You put it in a bottle. Like a gin.
Maybe that's what they do.
Yeah.
Sell it on eBay, says Mark. Yeah. Maybe they do.
Yeah. Look, sell it I've on had out-of-body experiences, all right? There's not going to be no way to trap any kind of soul. It just fucking go through any material. It can fucking jump around through space-time. They can't be captured. So that's in your fucking mind.
Well, see, that's kind of what...
You might be able to get rid of one just by... Actually, one of the most credible stories about a guy getting rid of the demon is he counseled it and made friends with it. It solved its problems. That's like something a Taoist monk would do, or a Buddhist monk might do that, which would be kind of a more subtle form of exorcism. Christians and Muslims would drive it out with force, which might strengthen it and make it more negative. I don't think that'd be that wise. But that one Christian guy fucking made friends with that. Remember the guy in the damn house? That's more like something a Buddhist would do. Or a Taoist priest might do that. Which is to solve the ghost's problems. You know. It's kind of like the judo way. Don't fucking knock it out. Just roll with it. You know?
That seems like it would make more sense. I mean...
Yeah.
But wait, wasn't that the same episode, though, where he was jogging a couple months later and saw the ghost, like, down the street?
Yeah, but he got rid of it later on by remember, he loved it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he healed it.
That's right.
Which is like more like something a Buddhist would do. Would try to heal the fucking, heal the pain and suffering of the spirit so it could move on.
They don't do a lot of that on the, well, they do that
on a Christian mindset.
Well, they do that on a haunting, but they usually only do that on a haunting if it's a nice ghost. Like if it's a little kid or something, it's like, well, you need to go to heaven. Well, that's what they did on this one.
It's prejudiced.
Yeah, well, it's like an evil ghost, you'd think that they would need it even more.
Yeah, right.
Because they're clearly very angry and have some issues.
The Christianity and Islam is very, very similar. If you come across something that's evil, you don't negotiate with it, you try to destroy it. Well, you're meeting force with force, so it's going to man up and get even stronger. All right? You might be able to win in a battle of wills eventually. But that's dangerous. It might be better to just counsel it and try to heal it so it can move on. That's a lot more Shinto. You know what I'm talking about? Not Shinto. What's the name of the shit that fucking Steven Seagal used? What's that fucking shit that he used? Aikido. Yeah. More Aikido, you know. Throw it and fucking move it on type of deal.
Or just bring in Steven Seagal and the ghost will flee in terror.
No, Steven Seagal shows up and goes, I heard you're haunting this place.
Steven Seagal, exorcist.
Yeah. I suspect you're here for an Asian experience. But I don't share my women. Okay? So you're going to have to go. Yeah. And he finds out the ghost is black, so he adopts the black accent. Because you know? Steven Seagal is whatever ethnic group he's talking to.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if he's talking to a black guy, he becomes black. Fucking, that's just fucking funny.
I mean.
If he's talking to Italian guys, he becomes Italian. Just, and he's Jewish.
Well.
Yeah, it's funny.
I mean. Actually, please, somebody write a screenplay called Steven Seagal Exorcist. I would watch that. And it has to have all of that stuff in it, too. Like, he's just kind of, like, relating to every ghost on their level and in their ethnicity.
I saw some recent...
Would be super funny.
I saw some recent video of fucking Seagal on YouTube. And he was kind of making fun of himself. So I think he's realized that he's a meme. Because he can't fight it now.
Oh, well, that's what I'm glad, because it's like some people like that. Some people like that, they don't have any self-awareness. They don't have any sense of humor about themselves.
He had humor about
And it's hard to get that later on in your life if you don't have it. You know what I mean? So it is nice to see.
I think he's changed a little bit.
I kind of wish Chuck Norris would fucking lighten up.
No, Chuck Norris will never change.
That's what I'm saying. But at least, say, if Steven Seagal can lighten up, then there's hope for everyone. Maybe.
Chuck Norris is fucking bolstering himself to the transition into the afterlife, is what he's doing. He's going to go to God and behind the pearly gates and all that. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He's going to go out fucking kicking his way to heaven. Kicking and punching.
Hi-ya!
Yeah. St. Michael. I'm here.
I just had a
Whose
hilarious.
Ass do you want me to kick?
I just had a fucking hilarious. Yeah, they're gonna send him back as an angel.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Chuck Norris, afterlife assassin.
Yeah, exactly. You made that up?
Yeah.
That's a good one, Jim.
I don't know. I would watch that movie too.
Chuck Norris, afterlife assassin.
Yeah. Chuck Norris didn't like to be a meme. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, the thing about it is that
that
look,
generation did not understand.
If it happens, you might as well just roll with it, because you can't fight it. You can't.
Yeah.
And people are going to be a lot more charitable toward you if you just like, you know, if you have a sense of humor about it. If you take yourself way too seriously and get all butt hurt, then that's going to make people like pick on you even more. You know what I mean? Because that's just how it goes.
That generation did not fucking get into this joking around thing. They didn't like that. They wanted to be taken seriously. They were credibility motherfuckers. That, you know, if you weren't taking them seriously, then you were disrespecting them.
See, I don't get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is that's a big thing, like from that generation.
Yeah, that generation. Yeah.
I don't give a shit if anybody takes me seriously or not. It's not important.
No.
I don't give it. I don't really know.
It doesn't matter.
Isabella said, "I'd store them in old food jars because they're free, and you can mark their names on the lids with a Sharpie."
Yeah.
I'd even wash them out first. Yeah, here you go, ghosty. And you could put the date on it and, like, what the ghost did and, like, where you got them from. And you could, like, keep them in your pantry or whatever. Mm-hmm. See, that'd be neat.
Man, for some reason, it just crossed my mind. I got to go down there and maybe do something like refried beans out of the damn Instant Pot.
Is that what you just thought?
Yeah. Okay. I got attacked by the idea of refried beans. That's how it is, people.
Attacked by the idea of refried beans. That almost sounded like a Chuck Tingle book.
Yeah. Hit in the ass by my own refried beans. Hit in the ass. Taking a picture of me.
Pounded in the butt.
By the refried beans that pounded me in the butt. And it wasn't gay.
Also, there was a unicorn.
And a unicorn was involved.
And Bigfoot. And a dinosaur, probably.
Unicorn dinosaur
and
boyfriend.
A jet plane.
Hitting me in the butt.
And a billionaire. In there, a billionaire.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
And refried beans.
I need to check back up on Chuck Tingle because, like I said, the motherfucker writes a new thing, like, every day, it seems like.
Yeah.
And if you're having a bad day and you need, like, just a good laugh, go to Chuck Tingle's Wikipedia page and just read the titles.
Just the titles of all of his books.
And you will just have a delightful day because they are just... I can't even get to the bottom of the list and I'm just, like, crying from laughter.
I recommend Chuck Tingle erotic novels... to Miss Lee, Miss Willa Lee up in Korea, read that shit, okay? You will be fucking laughing, all right? Just read the titles.
Yeah, you didn't even hear... I mean, you can read the whole thing, too. They're fun,
yeah.
But just the titles...
Chuck Tingle.
...are funny enough.
Just look up Chuck Tingle.
I mean, that dude is, like, some kind of marketing genius.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
And I like that he's, like, keeps... He doesn't really do, like, interviews. He won't really say much about, like, his... history or his real name. Like, he makes some stuff up, but he's, like, real sketchy about it.
He is also a martial artist.
That's right.
According to the photograph that he put up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of like, too, that his author photo was just, like, a stick figure that he drew.
No, it was that
well, for a long time, it was.
It was that dude in that karate outfit.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw it, it was
real. I don't think that was actually even him.
No, of course not. It was a stock photo.
Yeah, it was a stock photo.
It was a stock photo.
But for a long time, he had a stick figure.
Of a dude in a red karate outfit. It's a Chuck Tingle.
Danny Rowling said, add some tomatoes in the refried beans, Tom, like the strippers added to the biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. You guys saw that.
I have never heard of that ever. Who the hell puts tomatoes in biscuits and gravy? Like I said, what fucking planet are you from?
I don't know. It's just, you know...
I never heard of that.
It was... The strippers are three generations of strippers, and some of them were not as young as I thought they were. The one that I thought was like a teenager, she was actually turning 29, but she looked real young. So the ones that looked like they were 15 or 16 were probably more like 19 or 20.
Well, I hope they were. So you don't want a 15-year-old strippers. That would
be weird.
I was
looking at them, I go, man, is this... I thought they were like daughters.
Yeah.
They weren't daughters to the other ones. They were just co-workers. And, they had it in a damn... Crock-Pot, keep on warm. Just one of the things. It was right next to me, and it didn't have any smell. And I didn't know them girls. I didn't know if I want to eat out of their house, you know. But dude was, he like, they didn't have any biscuits, but they had, had some French bread, so I'm just going to use that. I was like, they must not be biscuits and gravy. And he goes, it looks like, but he was eating it. It had tomatoes in it. He goes, yeah, it's like, he goes, it's hamburger. It's not sausage.
Oh, okay. So maybe it wasn't even supposed to be biscuits and gravy.
No. But it didn't make any sense. It was something somebody made up. That's not a traditional thing. That's not a traditional Southern thing. It was based on biscuits and, you know, country gravy.
Like whatever they had in their house. They were whatever.
Like country gravy, but not really. Yeah, and then they probably threw Rotel in it.
Well, you know. We always throw Rotel in things.
Yeah. Rotel, you just drain the Rotel, put it in there with it. Yeah. Rotel's good.
It is, yeah.
Very good.
It's actually, Rotel and Velveeta make like the quintessential
party
dip. In the South, actually in the Midwest too. It's a big thing in the Midwest.
Also. Rotel's great in any kind of Indian recipe because it had diced tomatoes and green chilies in it already.
It's already got the spice in it.
So you can put that in there early parts of making a curry. You know, it works good.
Well, see, now, a lot of the, some of the channels that I watch that are trying to do, like, you know, good food, like, on a budget, like, from the Dollar Tree or whatever, they said, well, it's always good, like, especially if you live somewhere where you don't have, like, a lot of spices in your house, it's always good to, like, buy cans of Rotel that already have, like, spices in them, so then, like, you don't have to add shit because it's already in there. So, you know what I mean? And cans of Rotel and shit are, like, really cheap. So, I mean, that was pretty much the end of the episode, but after she, you know, sucked Joseph out of Martin's body and put him in the crystal and then did whatever with the crystal. I'm not entirely sure, but maybe I should call her and ask. I'm
Camp Guy, we got fucking gourmet Rotel. We must have 9 different flavors of it here. All right, some of it's the roasted, some of it's mild, hot, some of it's got they got chipotle. They got all different kinds of flavors now. Okay, that's all. I was just answering what he said about. He said some of it's pretty hot. They got all kinds of flavors now. Same with Spam. They got 20 different flavors of Spam.
Well, that's kind of the thing. Like every food brand nowadays, man, you got to have like 50 bajillion flavors. You got to have like tons of flavors of everything.
Yeah, the bacon flavor is good. Slice it thin and use it as a just breakfast sandwich. You know, good egg and cheese.
Breakfast sandwich.
Yeah,
he made a breakfast sandwich last night after the show. It was really, really good.
Yeah, sausage and cheese and
it was on naan. Yeah, it was good actually.
Yeah,
it was really good. But yeah, so now that Joseph is fucked off and is still living in the crystal, just like the villains in Superman, like inside the thing, I guess that's how I pictured it. Then I guess Jessica went on to heaven or whatever. So they said the staff said that the atmosphere of the place like got better considerably after that, and then that was the end of the show. But like I said, there were a couple of articles about this. And they kind of went a little bit into some shit that wasn't on the show. As I mentioned, there was an article that was in Chronicle Live, and it was first published in 2004 and then updated again in 2020. And this was about the psychic, Suzanne Hadwin, and she said, and like I said, all of this is coming from her, so I don't really know, I couldn't really find anything to confirm that this little girl actually existed, but she said that, like, the little girl was 6 years old, and her name was actually Jessica Ann Hargreaves. They didn't say what her last name was on the show, but she said what her last name was, and that she was murdered in 1908. As I mentioned earlier, she says on the show she implied that there were more than there was a lot of spirits in there, but she didn't say how many on the show. In this article, she said there were 37. Hmm. 8 of them were children, and one of them was Jessica's murderer. I don't know who the other ones were. She said that Jessica had been strangled and raped, and that Joseph cut her up and trampled on her in the cellar. He tried to get rid of the evidence and threw all her clothes and belongings in a big fireplace. So that's what she said about that. And she said he murdered a lot of children and hid their bodies inside. So she said that. And she said that she stayed there for 2 weeks, like every night she was there. She said that she managed to release all the spirits into heaven, including Jessica, but Joseph Lawrence had to be forced out. So she said that as well. And then this article says Jessica was a local girl. Her mother was called Kathleen and her father Billy. And Billy, the dad, ended up killing Joseph Lawrence, they said, like after he found out that this guy had killed the daughter. But like I said, if this happened in 1908, you'd think that there would be records of it, like newspapers or something.
That'd be a big event.
It's possible that like those newspapers haven't been digitized. That's true. But I mean, I couldn't really find any confirmation of that. You know what I mean? The only thing that was, like, outside of stuff that was about this show was Find a Grave, and the Find a Grave entry had obviously been made by somebody that saw the show. You know what I'm saying?
When there were a lot of mass murders that happened, you know what I mean, that were kind of forgotten. I mean, there's been some weird shit where, like, in the 40s or 50s, they tear down a house, and underneath the house from the 1800s, there's fucking 20 bodies buried underneath it. Nobody knows what it was, you know. So it's plausible, maybe something like that would happen. But
yeah, I'm not saying it didn't. I'm just saying, you know,
right?
That there's no record I couldn't find any record of her like being missing or anything like that. So I don't know. I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that, you know, that's most of the sources are from this show.
Okay, well, that's it. You want to go ahead and shut it down? I got to fucking start cooking.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah. And like I said, there was an article that came out in 2019, too, that said there was another paranormal group going there. But because I couldn't find anything more recent than that, and I went to their Facebook group and their website, and it didn't say anything. So I'm assuming they probably didn't find anything. And one of the articles said that the Northumbria police had looked into these supposedly, like, all these bodies. Because apparently this little girl's body behind the wall wasn't the only one. They said there may be, like, eight other ones, like, underneath there. And supposedly they investigated it, but I'm assuming because I couldn't find anything, like, official, that they probably didn't find anything, or they never did it.
They're asking what tomorrow's review is.
I don't know. Like, whatever. I'm going to let Tom pick a movie.
Oh, we're going to want to do a movie? Okay.
Yeah, we got to do a movie.
Okay.
Unless you want to do another haunting episode, but... Or would you rather do a movie?
Let's do a movie.
Okay. What movie do you want to do? You have any ideas? I mean, you can look.
Yeah.
Because I picked the one before, and it's like you didn't like that one too much. So
no.
I'm going to let you pick one.
Okay.
So you can't cry if you don't like it.
Shit. I can't pick one off the top of my head.
Well, no. You can look through all the streaming services and see what they got.
Yeah.
Hugo says Hellraiser 2022. I'm actually going to do a review of that, and I'll probably put it up on Saturday. And I'm also going to do a review of Speak No Evil, because I know one of you guys recommended that to me. And I watched it earlier today, and I wrote a review, so I'm going to put that up later. Karen Lee says do Night Flyer. That's the Stephen King thing. I mean, if we can find it. Halloween Kills. We already did that. We already did Halloween Kills, right? Because I thought we saw that in the theater.
Yeah, I think we did that one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we already did that one.
It was okay.
Yeah, but we'll... I don't know. We'll figure something out. We'll figure something out. I'll let Tom, like, scroll through shit and we'll find some stuff. All right, so thank you, everybody, for dropping by this evening. And we'll see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.